Can you hear us? Can you feel we love you, Lord? We love you, we love you. We love you, Lord. We love you, we love you. We love you, Lord. We love you, we love you. We love you, Lord. We love you. Is big, our love is loud. We fill this place with this love now. Our love is big, our love is loud. We fill this place with this love now. Our love is big, our love is loud. We fill this place with this love now. Our love is big, our love is loud. We fill this place. Father in heaven, we do love you this morning. We bring you all of our praise, Father, and all of our thankfulness because you're such a good God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Is it time for the children's sermon? Come on down, kids. Time for the children's sermon.
Oh, your shoes are muddy? That's all right. Sit right there. I need Miss Teresa to get pretty close to me. All right. Hey, guys. How are y'all? Y'all want to come get a little bit closer, maybe? Not too much, but get a little bit. How are y'all today? Good. Y'all like this weather? No? You do like this weather? Okay. You like to stay inside. Okay. You don't like to be outside?
Hide and seek, and you can just stand in the middle of nowhere.
Oh. Okay, so, well, I am so excited to be here today. I'm excited that you are here today. And we have come to learn about who?
Jesus.
Jesus and God. That's right. So here's my, I have a question for you. Okay, it says, who gives us each new day? God does. That's right. So what are some things that you do during the day? I don't know. Video games? Okay.
All I do is.
You just eat. Okay. Anything else? Do you get out of bed? Do you brush your teeth? Do you comb your hair? Do you get dressed?
I get out of bed at 4.
That's right. Do you make your bed? Do you watch TV? Do you read books? Do you play games? Do you go to the store? Oh, man. We do all. Do you play? We do all of these things every single day.
And I got a toy like.
Did you? Okay. All right. Well, you know, God has given us a new day every single morning. And we get up and we start out the day and we do fun and exciting things all day long. Sometimes they're hard things. Sometimes we have to do hard things too, right? So we do all those things. Is there anything you're missing during the day?
My mom.
Your mom? Okay. You miss your mom. Anything you might be missing during the day? Doing something that you're doing that you might be missing? Abby. Your cousins? Okay. How about praying? Do y'all pray during the day?
Yes.
Huh? You do? All right. Do you pray during the day? Sometimes when you act up? Okay. Well, praying should be something that we do every day. not just maybe in the mornings or maybe at mealtime, but maybe throughout the day. Okay, so I'm going to show you something. This is going to be turned around. You can turn it around. Okay, this is going to be God today. Okay, does this look like God?
No.
Okay. So, does God hear our prayers? Yes. Yes. So this is our prayers. Okay. This is our prayers. Huh? You're going to think it's going to explode? All right. We'll see. So every time that you're doing something, when you get out of bed, you can pray. When you're at school, you can pray. When you're reading a book, you can pray. When you're playing, you can pray. You can thank God for the new day. You can be, if you're afraid, you can, I'm splashing you, okay? You can thank God for the new day. You can thank Him for your family and for your friends and your teachers and everything. Do you think, I know. Do you think God is excited when you talk to Him? Yes. Does He want to hear from us? Should we be excited to talk to God?
Oh, gosh.
Oh, it'll be okay. It's not going to bubble over. I made sure. I did practice this at home, okay? So God wants us to be excited. It's not good. God wants us to be excited. Do we get excited to talk to God? Do we get excited to talk to God?
Yeah.
No.
No?
Sometimes we just kind of forget about God. You get excited to talk to God? So.
Okay.
That's all right. So, you know, God wants to hear from us all day long, not just in the morning, not just at night. He wants to hear from us all day. So where you're at school or with your friends, just take a few minutes and say, thank you, God, for this day. Thank you for my friends. Thank you for my teachers. Thank you for this beautiful day. So, and it said, God loves us so much, He wants to be a part of us. And it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, it says, rejoice, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. So, no, we're not going to drink that. So just remember, God is excited for you to talk to Him, and we need to be excited to talk to Him. And pray, okay? All right, let's say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you that you love us. Just be with us. And Lord, I pray that as we go about our day, that we will just remember to seek out you and just be thankful for everything that's going on in our world. And when we're afraid or uncertain, that we can turn to you because you are with us. We thank you for all these boys and girls and their families. Lord, just bless us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay. All right.
Well, they pray when they mess up. That's got to sound like repentance to me. Do we do that, church? As adults, do we do that? Well, good morning. Welcome again to Wiley Methodist Church. Glad to see you guys this morning. Bless you that are worshiping with us online. Please register your attendance with us today. We started our Sunday school back last Sunday and our Wednesday nights back this past Wednesday night. And had a decent response to that. And if you're not comfortable coming to that, please stay home. There's some of you that we haven't seen in a while, and we miss you, but we understand your need to be away. And looking forward to the day we can all be back in this house worshiping the Lord together. Next Sunday night at 6 o'clock is the annual One Kingdom Exalt event. It was scheduled to take place at the Civic Center. That's been moved to New Hope Church. New Hope Church is on South Clack Street next to Chick-fil-A. Everybody knows where Chick-fil-A is? Well, New Hope Church is right kind of adjacent to that. So that'll be next Sunday at 6 p.m. Let's stand and affirm our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Today I feel led to be obedient to Scripture and pray for our new president and vice president and cabinet, and pray for our Congress, House of Representatives, and the Senate. I'm not going to tell you who I voted for in the election. I really don't vote a person. I vote a party. But the party I voted for did not end up in the White House, so I'm not going to tell you who I voted for. You can draw your own conclusion there. And that's, to be honest, brought some angst and some frustration to me. But we're called to pray for those in authority. Amen? Can I get an amen on that? This may be hard for some of you, but we need to be obedient to Scripture. Here's what Paul said to Timothy in a time where the Roman government was an ungodly government. And this is what he said to Timothy. Pray for kings and all those in authority that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Pray for them so that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. That's God's heart for us. And to live peaceful and quiet lives, we've got to come to terms with the command of Scripture to pray for those in authority. So I'm going to do that this morning. And like I said, this may be difficult for some of us, but let's not resist the Holy Spirit on this. Amen? Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And I'm going to force you to pray. I'm going to walk you through a little prayer session. Can we do that? All right. Let's lift up our president, Joe Biden. Lift up the Vice President Kamala Harris. Let's lift up the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. Pray for Chuck Schumer, leader of the Senate. Let's pray for the cabinet that the president is assembling, that it will be a cabinet that seeks the Lord's desire. Let's pray for our state leadership. Pray for Greg Abbott as our governor. And let's pray for our local leadership as well. Oh, Father, we acknowledge that nothing escaped your notice. And, Father, we had an election that for at least half the country didn't turn out the way they hoped it would turn out. So, Father, we have to declare that you're sovereign. And Lord, we lift up those that are in authority now. And Father, I want to pray that they realize the command of Scripture, that the church is to pray so that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Father, we don't want an easy way out. That's not what we're praying for. We pray that righteousness rules the day. God, I pray that godliness and holiness just rise to the surface in us, in your church. And Lord, things may be raging all around us, but God, I pray for peaceful and quiet lives, peaceful and quiet hearts for your people. And Lord, I just pray for a supernatural move of your Spirit, where lives will be changed. And Father, as I think about how you've done that through history back in the first century, Lord, you did that through the church. You moved in power, God, but you moved through the church. And so, Lord, just convict us to position our hearts in such a way that you can move through us so that the world will be radically changed. So those in leadership and government, their hearts will be radically changed. Father, we trust you. We love you, Lord, and we declare that the battle belongs to you, O God. And as Jeff shares that message this morning, God, I just pray that it resonates with us deeply. Forgive us for trusting our own resources when the battle belongs to you. Help us to reposition our hearts, God. Help us to fix our gaze on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And God, we trust you. We pray for our government, but we don't put our trust in the government. We put our trust in you. Oh God, thank you for this time. Thank you, Father, that you love your people. And Lord, as we continue to navigate this COVID crisis, Lord, give us wisdom, but at the same time, God, protect us in this house from illness. I know you want your people together. Hebrews says that. Don't forsake assembling together. God, that's your heart. Lord, we want to be wise in regard to that, Father, but we also ask for protection. God, use this fellowship for your glory. Use the church for your glory. And we lift up our leaders. Lift up our president again and vice president, their cabinet, Senate and the House of Representative leaders, that we'll live quiet, peaceful lives in godliness and holiness. Oh Lord, thank you again for this time, opportunities to pray as well. And we pray the prayer that you, Jesus, taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and glory forever. Amen. We're going to continue to worship. I think Trevor had to step out and go to work, right? Brent's going to lead us as we continue, and you can bring your offering if you'd like to at this time. Church, again, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Allows us to continue to do incredible ministry for the kingdom.
All right, church, like he said, Trevor had to run off. We are super fortunate and blessed to have Trevor as a worship leader. But with him working as a electrician sometimes, he gets called away, and he got called away this morning, so hopefully he can get Golden Corral fixed before church gets out, but if not, y'all might have to change your lunch plans.
Run!
one of the cool things about, I guess, is getting older, is you start to see the beauty behind songs like this. You start to see the scriptural background interwoven through songs like this. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross. Church, like he said, is anybody's life going perfect right now? No? So regardless of what comes my way, regardless of what gets elected, regardless of what leader takes position, regardless of how my day at work goes, I will cling and I will cherish the old rugged cross. We're going to sing that again.
Good morning again. Glad that you are with us this morning. Hope you feel the love of Christ in this place, and I hope you feel the love of Christ in your homes as you are viewing on our live stream. Just a reminder, we have a Wiley Methodist app. You can register your attendance with us today, and if you are our guest, we are especially glad that you're here. There is a guest form also on the app, the Wiley Methodist app, that we'd love for you to fill out so we'd know that you were here. And I'll be out in the foyer at the end of the service and would love to meet you, have a free gift for our guests. If you'll turn with me to 2 Chronicles, not every day we're in 2 Chronicles. It's in there, I promise. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. Now, I want to set this up a little bit. The Hebrew nation, the people that God had made covenant with, had divided into a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. And it's a lot more detailed than this, but basically the northern kingdom was under a king named Asa, and the northern kingdom was not walking with the Lord. The southern kingdom Jehoshaphat was the king of the southern kingdom known as Judah. And they were, Jehoshaphat was a righteous king, and they were walking in the ways of the Lord. Now, so we're gonna pick it up in verse 1 here in chapter 20, but I wanted to tell you that Jehoshaphat, you may not be that familiar with him, but he was actually a high jumper in high school. And you probably that's where the phrase jumping Jehoshaphat came from. I don't know if you knew that. See, the things coming to Wiley Methodist Church, the things you learn. Robert, you didn't know that, did you? See there? Yes, he was a high jumper in high school. Okay, the jokes don't get any better. I'm sorry. I put the fire to disappoint you. Verse 1. Now, we'll just pick it up right there. After this, now there's a lot of bites in here, so I'm going to do my best to nights and bites and all that. The Moabites and the Ammonites, with some of the Mennonites, came to make war on Jehoshaphat. Now, they're coming to make war against the southern kingdom, this righteous kingdom. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the sea. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard and said, this is his prayer, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. O our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built it in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. But now here are men from Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. O our God, will you not judge them? We have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. I think I'm going to read that again. For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do. But our eyes are on you. Hello. All the men of Judah with their wives and children and little ones stood there before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, a Levite and descendant of Asaph. As he stood in the assembly, he said, listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Are we listening, church? Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. For the battle is not yours, but God's. tomorrow march down against them. They will be climbing up the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. Woo! That's good stuff, huh? O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Jehoshaphat bowed with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. We need to hear from you. I'm not even concerned about what I have to say. We want to hear from you, Holy Spirit. Speak in power and authority and transform our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm continuing the sermon series today, In God We Trust. In God We Trust. And today's message is The Battle Belongs to the Lord. And Billy alluded to it earlier. Remember the old song? Heavenly armor, they'll be into the land. I love that song. And I went back. And that song was written in 85. I didn't realize, man, I'm getting old. I remember that used to be a staple in the praise and worship services. So we're hearing a lot coming out of Washington these days about unity. Okay? About unity. I want to speak for just a second on that topic. And here's what the Lord laid, I believe with all my heart, He laid this on my heart. Two diametrically opposed points of view cannot be unified. It's impossible. And I was thinking about certain examples. Yes, God is calling us to be unified. But He primarily in Scripture, He's calling for unity in the body of Christ. Not unity with unbelievers. Not unity with government. Not unity with people that are living in sin. That's not the kind of unity the Bible speaks of. And I was thinking about, so if you imagine, over here you have one something, and over here you have something else, and there's this line that connects the two, and when they come towards each other, they're in diametrically opposition to one another. And I was thinking of just a few examples. One of the things is where is that they have the running of the bulls? You remember that? Yeah. Crazy people let these bulls chase them through this old town, and it normally doesn't end up very well for them. But I'm thinking, that's two diametrically opposing views. I mean, the bull just wants to hit somebody, and the people running want to avoid the bull that's coming chasing them. There can't be unity. They can't rationalize. They can't have a conversation with the bull and go, listen, I want to be your friend. Okay? No, they diametrically are in opposition to one another, and there is no unity in that. And I think about, I've used this example before, but sports teams, I promise you there's going to be a couple of football games played this afternoon, and I promise you there will not be unity across the field because they each are diametrically opposed to one another. And I think about things, controversial things throughout the history of our nation. I think about slavery. I mean, you know, you couldn't, that was not, there was no compromise in that. Either you believe that people can be property or you don't. I mean, there is no middle ground in that. They're two diametrically opposing views, and that caused our Civil War. That and some other things. I think about World War II. We had a dictator in Germany that wanted to overthrow basically the whole world, and he wanted to exterminate a whole generation, a whole race of people, and there was no compromise. Two diametrically opposite views that could not be unified. caused World War II. I think about the civil rights movement in the 60s. You either thought it was okay to have a white water fountain and a black water fountain, or you didn't. There was no compromise in that. And I could go on and on. We think about our abortion industry of today. Either you believe that life is sacred and that life begins at conception. Either you believe that or you don't. I mean, I tell people, you know, when it comes to that topic of abortion, technology is our friend, because now we can peer into the womb. You know, back 30, 40 years ago, we could have this intellectual argument. Well, it's just a clump of cells, basically. No, we can peer in the womb and go, hey, that little fetus has eyelashes. That little fetus has, you can see them draw away in pain if somebody's poking at them. We understand. I mean, there is no unity in that topic. You're either here or you're here. So I want us to understand that when we hear these, and I think about our nation today, that there are topics, and I'm going to slightly disagree with my brother in Christ, Billy. I don't care what color state this represents the White House. I just want some godly stuff coming out of the White House and out of Congress. I don't care. Did you know Jesus is going to come back on a white horse, not a red or a blue one? No. Did you know that? Our salvation is not in a party, a political party. Our salvation is in God Himself. So I just want to see a nation that honors the Lord. All right. So I hope that we've established that there are some things and some moments when we can't be unified. I have nothing against any politician personally. You know, I don't wish any of them harm or anything like that. But some of their positions, some of the things that they are putting into a law and so forth, I adamantly disagree. And there is no unity in that. I cannot be unified in that. So I believe, as we unpack this scripture a little bit out of 2 Chronicles, I believe there's a few points here that the Lord would have us recognize and consider. First of all, as followers of Jesus Christ, if Jesus is not our Lord and Savior, none of this really applies. I mean, in fact, this doesn't apply. And we have to make a determination. Do we believe this? Do we believe God has spoken? Do we believe this is inspired word of God? If it is, what does He have to say for us believers? Many people, even some that are within the church, discount this. Here's what God has told Jehoshaphat, and I believe it applies to us today. As followers of Jesus Christ, number one, we should recognize there is a battle and who the enemy is. You know, I can just imagine as these men came and told Jehoshaphat, they said, a vast army is coming against you. You know, before he was recognizing that, he was probably just sitting around the camp, kind of having a good old time, maybe roasting some hot dogs or something. Probably doing a little practice in his high jumping. You know, you never know what he was doing. But he was made aware there's a battle. They're coming, whether you like it or whether you don't, whether you recognize it or whether you don't. This army is coming to take you out. Ephesians 6, I preached on this June the 28th, by the way, and I went back and listened to it because the messages kind of overlapped. It was interesting. I encourage you, if you did not see that or hear that message, I encourage you to go to our website and not because I preached it, but because I think God had something to say. Ephesians 6 says this, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. And it's so easy, and I'm telling you, I have to battle this. It's so easy to shift and think, that guy right there, he's the problem. If he wasn't in office, or if he wasn't elected, if he didn't have position of power, or she, or whatever, we have to understand that God may use people, but the battle says it's not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. So we have to understand that there is a battle. It is spiritual. There is no amount of community organizing or political organizing that's going to solve this for us. So after Paul in Ephesians identifies it, what the battle, that there is a battle, then he says in verse 13, therefore, and remember, you go back and see what it was there for, because there's a battle, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. Hello. I don't know about you. I hate talking about this stuff. I really do. I'd really like to be preaching about God's love and mercy and grace and, you know, all of the above. But, man, what's relevant in our day, we're in a battle. And God's saying, yes, there's going to be a battle. You need to put on the armor of God so that when that battle comes, you're able to stand your ground. So I'm asking, are we armored up? Go back and I encourage you, go back June 28th. You can go to our website, look it up. The belt of truth. Paul is identifying these pieces of armor. Did you know that if he's speaking of truth, then what does that mean? That there's also lies. So we can't believe the lies. We have to gird ourselves with the belt of truth. Truth comes from God. Truth comes from God's word. Jesus said, I'm the truth. A breastplate of righteousness. The gospel of peace. The shield of faith. And it goes on to say so that we can extinguish the flaming arrows that come against us. We can raise up this shield of faith and go, you know what? I realize that, man, things are kind of chaos right now. But I've got a Savior. In faith, I stand with Him. The helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which he identifies as the Word of God. So, whether we like it or whether we realize it or whether we want it to be so or whatever, we're in a battle, church. Now, here's what I don't want anybody mistaking. This hasn't welled up in me, in my spirit, since the election. Go back and listen to June 28th. We didn't have no election by June 28th. And I'm speaking about the seriousness of the battle we're in. I mean, because in our nation, what's happening, man, all you got to do is just turn on TV. You can't escape it. We're messed up. We're messed up as a nation. And I was visiting with someone this morning. I don't have their permission to share their name, so I won't. But the church, we are the last stand. Everybody else is caved in. It's all done. Everybody else is on board with the brokenness of our culture. The church is the last stand. And who is the church? Take your index finger. Everybody point your index finger. Now point it right here. You're the church. I'm the church. We must recognize we're in a battle, and we must know who the enemy is. It's a spiritual battle. And it can only be won with spiritual weaponry. Secondly, here's what Jehoshaphat did, and as followers of Christ, we should resolve to inquire of the Lord. I can't even tell you how many people have asked me, I don't go around, you know, flailing, you know, anger all over the place. I'm trying to walk with faith and peace and all that. But I've had a lot of people come to me and it's like, man, Jeff, I'm just angry. And I've had others just like, what do we do? What are we supposed to do? Well, when Jehoshaphat got the news that this army was coming against him and the nation, he said he resolved to inquire of the Lord. I promise you, I don't have all the answers, but the Lord does. The Lord knows. Last week I talked about pressing into Him. Remember I don't know if you remember, but the mama elephant? The baby elephant was under attack from the lions, and the little baby nestled into mama. It's like, that little baby elephant was vulnerable. She nestled in to mama because she knew mama would protect her. Alarmed, it says, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord. The people came, people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. So not only their king, but the people are like, Lord, we need you. This vast army's coming against us. They came from every town in Judah to seek the Lord. If we hadn't already started that, church, I hope you'll start inquiring of the Lord. What's coming? What's our strategy? What do you want me to do? And then thirdly, Jehoshaphat and us as followers of Christ relentlessly called to relentlessly fast and pray for guidance. Now, I know that many of us have not fasted before. And many of us kind of, oh, that's kind of weird. That's just weird people do that. Man, it's in here. It's all in here. So he inquired of the Lord, and then he proclaimed a fast for all of Judah. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly, and here's what he prayed. I'm paraphrasing, but here's what his prayer looked like. He basically professed to God, "You are God. You're ruler of all kingdoms, all nations." So he proclaimed who God is. And then he humbled himself. He said, "We have no power to face this attack." He confessed to God, "Here's who you are. Here's who we are. We cry out to you," he said. "Our eyes are upon you. And we know you will hear us and you will save us." That was, in summary, that was his prayer. Sounds pretty good to me. Sounds like a pretty good plan to me. Fourthly, as followers of Christ, we should realize that the battle is the Lord's and he always wins. Did you know that the Lord is undefeated? Did you know that? The prophet that spoke, "This is what the Lord says, don't be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army." And I would paraphrase that today. Don't be afraid or discouraged because of all the mayhem that's happening in our country, in our world. Don't be afraid and discouraged. "For the battle is not yours, but God's." It's his battle. Now, is he telling us to go take a nap? No, and it's not what he told Jehoshaphat either. "You will not have to fight this battle, but here's what he said. Take up your positions and stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will give you." The Lord will give you. "Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow." So there's this aggressive, intentional, proactive going out to face the enemy, standing firm, but recognizing that God is the one that will do battle on our behalf. It's not going to be won by us. And then he goes on to prophesy, "And the Lord will be with you." And then, so after all of that, at the very end, verse 18, number 5 says that he responded, and we should respond with humble praise. We've professed who God is. We've professed our own weakness, our own powerlessness. But we will cry out to you. We will trust you. We will wait upon you. We will let you do battle on our behalf. And then it says, Jehoshaphat bowed with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. Now, bear in mind, at this point, when they put their face on the ground and they fall down in praise and worship to the Lord, the battle had not been won. The army was still coming. Do you see that? They've cried out to the Lord and they've put their trust in Him, but the army still is approaching with evil intents towards them. But Jehoshaphat had God's promise that He would deliver them. I was telling somebody before church, you know, they asked how I was doing about things. It's like we're all walking this journey together. You know, I don't have any more stress on me than anybody else or anything else that others are not walking through. But my battle is the stuff that I'm feeling as Jeff Hatcher, the person, versus how God is calling me to lead this church. And here's what I feel very clearly. Billy and I have been talking for some weeks now that we needed to press into prayer corporately as a church. And we've been discerning on how to do that. And I feel like yesterday the Lord gave me at least the beginning of that process. I'm calling on us. I'm asking you to consider, after you eat supper tonight, I'm asking you to consider fasting tomorrow for breakfast and lunch, and then you have supper tomorrow night. So that'd be a 24-hour fast. And we are going to have, and you, many of you will not be able to come, and I understand that. Many of you have jobs and or don't want to be out in public or whatever. But we will have anybody that wants to come in this sanctuary, and during that fast at 12 o'clock noon tomorrow, we will be praying, and we will live stream our time of prayer. I'll be sending out the link to that prayer to that live stream this afternoon. So I'm calling on now. If your health doesn't provide for you or doesn't allow for you to stay away from food that long, please do what's healthy for you. You know what you can and can't do. But if you are able, I know for Cheryl and I, we've already talked. We will have supper tonight, and then we'll not have anything else to eat until tomorrow night. And we will be here praying and tomorrow at noon. So that's what I feel like. That's where I think the Lord would have us start. And I see, we don't know yet. Billy and I are going to be visiting, the ministry team will be visiting more about what that might look like tomorrow. But I feel like my uneasiness didn't start with the November election. I don't think anybody, I mean, it's intensified in these last two or three months. But man, I have had a heavy heart for our nation and for our culture for several years, not months, but years. And I believe that the Lord would have us focus some prayer on physical healing for our church and our city and our nation. But I also believe spiritual healing, that God's people, man, we can't expect people that don't know the Lord to behave in such a way that as if they knew the Lord. It's the church's job to rise up. It's our job. We know the Lord. We know what He has done for us. We know what living by His in His righteous ways, we know the fruit that brings to us. He's calling the church to rise up and to seek His face. As soon as Jehoshaphat knew that there was an attack coming his way, it says he resolved to inquire of the Lord. And he began to fast and pray. And he began to trust in the Lord's goodness and in the Lord's response. Man, we need that, church. We need it. So that's my call upon you. If you don't understand exactly what I just laid out, you know, see me after church or you can text or email me. I want to ask you now if you just bow your head as the praise team comes back up. Father, we confess that You are God. You are ruler over the United States of America. You're the ruler over our church, over our hearts, over all kingdoms of the world. And we have no power to face down this attack that has come against us. Where right is wrong, where up is down, where people do what they think is right, but you tell us, Lord, that in the end that leads to death. We want to do what you tell us is right, what is right in your sight. Convict us, Lord, to seek you, to press into you. I pray against fear and discouragement. I pray that you would fill us with hope and joy and perseverance and power. Raise your church up, oh God, and start with me. Start with us. We praise you. We bow down our face to the Lord. We fall down and we worship you, oh God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. As we close, I would invite you to stand if you're able, and I will be out in the foyer. Would love to meet you, especially if you are our guest. Hope you will join us tomorrow at noon. I hope you will feel convicted to participate in the fast. And do you know, one last thing I want to say about fasting. I'm not a fasting expert, but one thing the Lord has shown me is fasting is not about not eating. Hello? That's not the purpose of fasting. The purpose of fasting is to press in to God. That's the whole purpose of it. To deny ourselves our basic needs of nutrients for our physical body, to deny that and press into the Lord. That's what fasting is. So I encourage you to prayerfully consider doing that, and we will be here at noon tomorrow as we close. resolved to inquire of the Lord? Do you resolve to inquire of the Lord, church? Is anybody out there? The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town of Judah to seek him. Let's seek him. Let's inquire of the Lord. Go and tell someone about Jesus. We are dismissed. God bless you. This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wylie United Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. I want to remind you that you have a Savior. His name is Jesus, and He loves you. I also would like to, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to pray this simple prayer with me. Father, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I confess it. I repent of my sin, and I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you prayed that prayer maybe for the first time today, I want to invite you to do four things. First of all, to share that decision you've made with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And then secondly, I invite you to be baptized. Jesus himself commanded us that we should celebrate our faith through baptism. And then I invite you to get into God's Word. A book of John is a great place to start. And not because somehow reading the Bible makes us a good person, but because there's life in God's Word. It's His inspired, holy Word. And then finally, I invite you to find a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church to be a part of. If you have any questions at all, I just want you to know that I'm available. You can contact me at my email, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.